Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast. And Skeeter, we're getting ready for the Honda Classic, a tournament that loses a little bit of his luster as not one of the elevated events this year, but I'm still looking very much forward to it. But before we look forward, let's take a look back. The Genesis, the formerly the LA Open at Riviera. What a great tournament. Not a playoff, but came down to the last couple of holes with Homa and Rahm, two of the best in the business right now. The Genesis ended my streak of profiting on DFS after three consecutive tourneys. So a little bit of a sad note there for me, Skeeter, but what a heck of a tournament.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. I mean, everything from Homa just kind of being the lead to Rahm kind of joining in and just kind of the weekend battle. Keith Mitchell on Saturday, he unfortunately kind of faded a little bit on Sunday, but you had the Tiger effect. You had Cantlay come out of nowhere to kind of potentially sneak into the title. Like, it was really fun to watch, and the drama of, you know, 10, 11, and even the back nine was just, it was a good watch. It was a good, fun tournament, which, you know, I think we kind of needed.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, obviously the week before, a fun tournament. This one a little bit different. I thought it was funny. I don't know if it was I watched a lot, especially with Tiger playing on Thursday. I watched a lot of Thursday, Friday golf. And at some point, like on Thursday, I heard somebody in the gallery basically chastising the rest of the gallery saying, "Hey, this isn't waste management. Everybody settle down, you know, button your shirt, tuck your shirt in, whatever. Like, let's get back to some normalcy." But it was still like a crazy, rowdy gallery. I will say this. My favorite part probably of the tournament, I mean, it's easy to pick. Like, I mean, just some of the backup shots on 16 on Sunday were fun. But on 18, when Homa was kind of in the trees and him and his caddy having the conversation, yep. And he's like, "Are we looking for three?" And Homa's like, "Oh, absolutely. Hell yeah." I just love that answer. Like, he wasn't worried about, all right, if we screw up and we don't make par, maybe we fall into T2 or even worse. It was either win or not win. And then at that same moment, I'm not sure who mentioned in the broadcast, said that Homa never finished second. He's got several firsts. He has no seconds. Really? And I don't know if that's just coincidence, the fact that he's able to seize the moment, or maybe a little bit of, hey, if I'm in contention, I'm going for it. I'm not playing for the paycheck or second place. Yeah, I didn't know that either. I was very surprised. No seconds, and he's got five wins on tour, I think. Now he has a second, obviously, from yesterday.
Right. But yeah, I mean, especially in these elevated events where this could eventually come down to the tour championship, like, yeah, second place, like, you wouldn't blame him if he's just like, you know what, I'm two back. You know what, why don't I just play fairway, or I'll play out and try to make make four. But then again, when you have the scrambling ability he does, like, he nearly hold the chip for birdie.
I know, on 17. Or no, well, he almost 18. Hold the chip on, yes, on 18, he did almost hold the chip. I guess I'm thinking of the Eagle hole, 17, where he almost hold for birdie as well. Yeah. After not getting out of the bunker the first time. But yeah, that one, dude. And then what a great reaction from Homa. Like, I know we're supposed to talk Honda here, but the Genesis is an awesome tournament. What a great reaction from Homa afterwards. We saw a couple of those. Keith Mitchell had a pretty good one, too, of similar, like, hands in the face. I think that was after his tee shot on 16. But yeah, I mean, there was just a lot of great reactions. Again, it's a beautiful golf course. It's LA, man. I enjoyed the heck out of it. I certainly look forward to the next elevated event. But Skeeter, I'm looking forward to this one too, even though the players may not quite be of the same echelon. It's still going to be, in my opinion, a good tournament.
Yeah, not only field, but this is a different course than we see the rest of the year. So we're at PGA National, Palm Beach Gardens. Par 70, I forget the distance right offhand. It's like 7,200 yards or something like that. But this course is defined by the amount of water hazards on the course. Like, there is water, I believe, on every single hole. And people are going to find it. You're going to see some blowers. So, you'll see, but it's also somewhat fair that if you're playing well, you can score. Like, I think, I forget what year it was. I think it was one year, like, some chalk piece. I want to say might have been the now live bound Brendan Steele was complete chalk. He started like seven over, like, after the first like seven, nine holes or something, and came back and made the cut as chalk. If it wasn't him, I forget who the guy was, but But yeah, we've seen some classic finishes. JT being listed a playoff rookie, winning a few years ago. I think Vegas had a hole in one that was. You would appreciate the wording that the announcers used for that one, and then even last year with Shane Lowry getting stuck in a rainstorm to give Sepp Straka the win. But of course, I know your favorite moment happened to be a runner-up golfer in 2020, Mackenzie Hughes.
Well, yeah, it was after Sungjae hit that big shot, and then he proceeded to show him the imaginary bowling balls he must have in his pants. It's one of my favorite golf pictures ever. So, I think it was that same golf tournament where I had Brendan Steele, and I had him at 125-1 or something. He didn't win the tournament, probably finished third. He was in that group right behind Sungjae, that same the group right before him with Tommy Fleetwood was an excellent finish because of the par five as well. But Skeeter, you mentioned Brendan Steele. The guy just went to live. Why in the hell didn't he wait one more week and play this tournament one more time? I mean, I guess it might have been Liv said, no, you don't get to do it anymore. Maybe they really needed him at Mayakoba this week. But my God, of all tournaments for Brendan Steele to leave the day before, the Honda? Like, Brendan Steele should play this thing one more time. I was flabbergasted that he would have made this decision this week and not a week later.
I'm sure Liv made it worth his while to...
Wouldn't Liv want him to win or be in contention and then turn and go to the next tournament, the other tour the week after? Like, I would think let him grab the bag on the way out the door if I were Greg Norman, but obviously I have no real insight onto what's better for them, whether it's to have him now or a week later. But, dude, I would have thought he would stick around for sure. And he's been playing pretty good, too.
Right. Now, I mean, they need to fill out their teams and all that.
You're right.
For this week, so I'm sure they're like, nope, come on over. And once... I have also a feeling once somebody had gotten wind of him going, the PGA Tour might have... they didn't even do that for Cam Smith last year, so...
Yeah, different players too, though. Cam Smith had already won the Players and, you know, then was one of the top golfers in the world. Brendan Steele, certainly not to that. I don't know, man. I saw that news and I just thought, all right, I get Thomas Peters. Brendan Steele, why don't you wait a week? But anyway, Skeeter, we'll get to the other golfers that actually will participate this week. But what are we looking for? I know you talked about the water. We're looking at a score relative to par that's not going to be as low as what we've seen pretty much this year. Cut's probably going to be above par, if I'm not mistaken. What are we looking at here? Probably a different set of stats than we have been as much lately.
Yeah, so I'm going to be looking at, like, good drives, and that includes distance, because if you actually think of some of the winners here, like, JT, List was involved, Strock as a bomber, I think Brooks is one here, he can hit the ball, so distance does play a factor, but obviously you have to be accurate, because otherwise you're going to be taking a drop playing three to try to get up and down, and this course is already hard enough without the water involved, so the scrambling approach... I'll look at that. Proximity range is 150 to 200 would be what I'm looking at. Basically, par 5, par 4 strokes gained. I will be heavily weighing bogey avoidance, but I'm also going to look at double bogey avoidance. Like, basically, when you go in the water, can you still at least salvage bogey? Like, bogeys aren't going to kill you this week. The doubles and other will kill you. So, top 65 in ties will make the weekend. That's nothing new. The only thing that'll be a little bit different here, I think, compared to what we've had so far this season... Remember, we're going from the West Coast to Florida, so that little bonus 2.5-3 hour Thursday morning window where you had to get lineups to make changes will not be there. I believe first tee off's usually like 6:45 Eastern. So
it's gonna be early.
So if you're in the West Coast, you probably want to set before you go to bed, and you probably even Mountain, maybe Central, maybe in the Eastern time zone too. Like, just make sure you have those lineups set that you're not going to get that bonus time Thursday morning, unless you're up in the wee hours of Thursday morning.
Skeeter, is there anything else we want to look at before we break it into the field?
I don't think so, other than you mentioned how, you know, this field has taken a hit, and that's what happens when in the past 2 weeks we've had elevated events, and the next 2 weeks we get elevated events. This one just kind of falls in the middle. I guess Honda is out as sponsorship for this event come next year, so don't know what this event's going to be. I would... Hopefully somebody gets a little creative and does something with this, like, or somebody else, I don't know what they'll do, but, you know, maybe it's time for, again, I would like to see some creativity, some, you know, they do those super sixes over on the Euro Tour or DP World Tour, maybe get the LPGA involved in this somehow, I think would be really cool to see as well, but We'll see.
The Tesla. Maybe that's what it'll be next week or next year.
I think Elon has to. I think he's got enough on his plate right now. I'm not sure.
I was just trying to come up with another automobile sponsor since, you know, we don't have enough on tour already, and thought that, you know, with the changing times, I don't know. It's not going to be the name of it, so we won't have to worry about that any further.
Now, somebody's suggesting that this should be the one DraftKings takes over. Let this be the DraftKings Open.
That's probably not incredibly unlikely. Because this is where, before the coronavirus hit, this is where I know the DFS scramble was happening before, because I had talked to you about potentially trying to get down to it. So that wouldn't surprise me at all. This is definitely a tournament that I hope sticks around, because I just like the course, too. And I just love, I like a harder course from time to time. I don't mind seeing Birdie Fest, but we're not going to see that this week. So it all remains to be seen. It is the Honda for this one year anyway. And Skeeter, are we ready to look at the players who have decided that they will tee it up at PGA National?
We are, and I think we're going to do a little bit different than the tier, because there's only two players 10K or above.
So let me ask you this, though. I mean, obviously, if you've got one that's your favorite, the other's not. Let me just ask you this, and we'll lump them in with the 9Ks, but they truly are a tier of their own. And it's kind of those two and the rest of the field, I think. We'll get your take on it, but I think you're right with that, Skeeter. So we're going to go with only two guys in 10K plus. We'll go 9K plus, and so we'll start it with Sung J.M. at 10.7. Shane Lowry is 10.4. Then it's Chris Kirk at 9.9. Billy Horschel, 97. Alex Noren's 95. Minwoo Lee, 94. Matt Kuchar, 93. Aaron Wise, 92. Denny McCarthy, 91. And then you got Thomas Dietrich at 9K. Skeeter. The list of names falls off in a hurry. Who is your favorite in this group?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to play form here. Like, I know Sungjae's won here before. Lowry coming off a second last year. Like, there might be spots to take him, and maybe you ought to try one of them. Like Sungjae's going to rate out much better than Lowry in the stats. But you know what? Give me the guy who's probably in the best form of this range right now, and I realize it's over in the Middle East, but Minwoo Lee at 9,400. All he's done this year in two starts was T2 at Abu Dhabi and 13th at Dubai. Like, when I see form like that, I want to ride that form. And, you know, we've seen Euro Tour players, DP World Tour players kind of come over here and have some success. So I'm just going to ride a form of Minwoo Lee at 9,400, where I feels a little underpriced for his talent.
I'll be interested to take a peek there, and you talked about the recent form. I did draft him in our league last year, and I never really found a spot to use him, so that could be some bias for me that probably won't hit a lot of other people with Minwoo Lee. I'm going to go with Denny McCarthy, man. I go back to, like, U.S. Open last year where he was in contention. He could play a hard course. We've seen him top 15s in two of the last three times he's been out there. 14th at the Genesis, 4th at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Now, look, he didn't make the cut at Waste Management, and he wasn't particularly close either. Wasn't great at the American Express, but I like those two finishes he had. He's finished 3rd and 30th here the last 2 years around. In this field, that 30th from a year ago might be a 15th. I like the guys up top. The two are better than everyone else. But on price tag alone, I got to go with Denny McCarthy here.
Yeah. His Genesis and Pebble, his two top 15 finishes recently, all putting, which is nothing entirely shocking for Denny McCarthy. Decent history here. I don't mind it. He's not where I'm looking, but I don't mind the play.
You get away from Minwoo Lee. Who else would you get after?
It would probably be Lowry. Again, I have some good vibes. I mean, I had him last year one and done when he finished second, and this seems like a good fit. And, you know, he kind of showed a little life last week at Genesis, so he would be up there as probably my number two.
I have trouble believing that if I'm going to use two guys in 9K, or that I will use two guys in 9K, I like Chris Kirk. Chris Kirk's played this course well.
Yeah.
Maybe the Waste Management miscut is just chapping my keister a little bit too much. I don't know that I can go 9,900 for Chris Kirk if Shane Lowry's 10-4. So I guess Shane Lowry's my number two as well. Kirk and Billy Horschel are in the mix for me, but I don't know, man. I don't know that I could see myself. We talked about a 6K guy that I like. Shocker. I could see myself really trying to build one of my three lineups with him and Lowry, even though I just said McCarthy would be my favorite of this whole group, and I will use him as well.
Yeah, I mean, what you could always do is you'd always play M. Lowry and McCarthy and just, all right, every lineup starts as one of them and play all three combinations. But for me, I think the other player was, you mentioned Billy Horschel. He's not in the best form right now, but we know he likes Florida golf.
Loves it.
Like, if you're not wanting to go there, just bet him at 30-1. Like, that's way too high of a number for him in this field. He's probably the third best player in this field. So, I mean, that's probably what my solution. I'll just bet him at 30-1, and I'm not going to worry about him in DraftKings.
I don't know where I'll end up on Billy. I think it'll end up on how I feel about the rest of this field, which gets kind of dicey. So I could find myself going, you know what? I didn't like paying that much for Billy Horschel or Chris Kirk, but I didn't like paying that price for anyone else down the list. And by the time I got to one spot left, I had 10,000 left. I went with Chris Kirk. I went with Billy Horschel. I could see that playing out when we really get to the nuts and bolts of lineup building.
Yeah, I think more people would go Horschel just because he's the bigger name.
Who are we fading here?
I think for me it's Aaron Wise. Not great recently with the driving and the approach, and I think that'll be an issue here. Proximity 150 to 175 isn't good. He is number one in scrambling over the past 24 rounds, fourth in putting, and good bogey avoidance, but he just not too I don't mind on coastal courses, but this doesn't feel like the one for me.
I mean, I've kind of just given a little bit of love to everybody here. I don't mind Wise, Dietrich, Kuchar either. I got to pick one to fade. I think I'll probably fade Matt Kuchar. He's won here before. He has tremendous name value. He's coming off of a wonderful tournament at the Genesis. So maybe I should ride the form because, by the way, he top 10 at Sony earlier in the year too. He hasn't played here in forever. I don't know. I could see Kuchar being an exceptional play, a bad play. I'm curious to see what his ownership will be. Expecting too many casuals in this field. I'm going to say Kuchar because I don't think I'm going to play him, but I mean, if you did, I wouldn't think it's stupid.
Yeah, no, he was one I was considering as well, but he actually rates out really well statistically in all the categories, so I didn't want to fade him for that reason.
Fair enough. Like I said, I really don't have one as well. We'll see how it plays out. Are we ready to go to 8K, my man?
Yep.
I feel like we skipped something because, well, we kind of sort of did, but we didn't. So let's just go right there. And we start at 8,900. That's Taylor Pendrith. 88 is JT Poston. Adam Svensson, 87. Johnny Vegas, 86. Seb Straka's 85. Harris English, 84. At 8,300, Adrian Maronk. We got our boy C-Bez. Christian Bezadenhout is at 82. Cam Davis, 81. Garrett Higo, 8K. Skeeter, what are you doing in 8K?
Probably not much. It's not a range I really like. Like, I'm intrigued by Svensson, who played well again last week, but that was all short game putting. Cam Davis fits the profile here, but he's just not in a good enough form. So I would assume the most popular play, and probably just because he rates out the best in his form isn't terrible right now, is Johnny Vegas, 8,600. Decent history here. Good. He's been good off the tee, good off the approach, can't make a putt. Like, his putting has been bad. He lost seven strokes putting last week at Genesis. Lost three at Phoenix, lost two at Farmers. That can always flip around a little bit. So Poa is his worst service. Bermuda is his best, even though he's still a net negative putter. Like, for those reasons, at 8,600, he'd be my guy. But not, you know, I'm not building a ton of lineups this week. I'm not sure I end up forcing him into my lineups.
I'm kind of with you here as far as I'm not so sure how much of this lineup I'm getting to or this tier I'm going to get to as well. I mean, the defending champ is sitting here, and he's 8,500. I think I'm kind of leaning towards him as my favorite, but I don't know how much I'm going to get into it. It was good to see him make the cut at the Genesis, though he never really threatened after a couple trips over to the desert. So I don't know. I'm kind of with you. I don't love this tier. I guess I'm going to go with Sepp Straka. It would have been JT Poston a couple of weeks ago, but his recent form has been pretty poor.
Yeah, and I think this is a result of the field. Like, is there that big of a difference between some of these 8K guys and some of the 7K guys? And
no.
No, and I think there's enough of a gap between the 9s and the 8s that just kind of leads this as a dead tier almost. We're recording this late Monday afternoon, so as far as ownership goes, it would be very, very limited. I'm going to try to pull it up just to see what early thought processes are. But yeah, the 8K range not going to be overly popular with the exception of Vegas. And it might just because there's nobody else that people really like here.
Skeeter, is there anyone else that you like here?
Nope. I mentioned that potentially Svensson or Davis, but I think they have huge question marks. I'm just not going to go there. I think some will... Actually, no. Nobody's on the wrong so far. I thought he would have gotten a little bump after a good Genesis. So maybe that would be another one. I'd have to investigate him a little bit more. Like he... 45th Genesis, lost all of his strokes putting. So if he gets that figured out, maybe. But nothing really else intriguing me here.
I might take a peek at the Canadians, Pendrith, Svensson, if need be. I mentioned it beforehand, getting started. Cam Davis, by the way, I might take a peek at as well, given course history. And, like, isn't this kind of a place where Aussies and Texans play good, guys that know how to play the wind?
I mean, Adam Scott won here. Matt Jones a couple of years ago. That'd be a couple of the Aussie narratives.
Matt Jones torched the field that week, too. Not that that means anything, but...
Hey, I can play Midway Louie. He's awesome. Aussie.
There you go. See, all I right. mean, I'm right on point I'm with there.
Justifying this play for me. All
right. I told you beforehand, I bet you I have a Harris English lineup at 8,400. I know he hasn't been great lately, but he's there's a better player in him than the rest of these players in this field for the most part.
And good history. Just I think he gained nearly 9 strokes putting last Riviera, so that was a concern. But I get it. I mean, it's kind of like the Billy Horschel 30-1 play, and there's even some guys in the sevens who's like, okay, look, this field's already weak. It might be worth taking a chance on some of these longer term better golfers.
Who are we fading out of this tier? Everyone else?
Yes. I'll say Higo. I don't even know. Has he done anything recently?
He has not been particularly great since his hot stretch, a year and a half ago? But he did, he had a couple good runs and a couple good weeks in a row at the beginning of the calendar year.
He likes the pro-ams, apparently, because outside of those, he has not been very good.
I guess I'm still going back to fading JT Poston because I would play either one of those Canadians around it before I would play him.
Okay.
Skeeter, we talked about the 7Ks. Are we ready to get in to the 7Ks?
Yep.
All right. I got a few names that make a lot of sense to me. I'll let you go first. What is it that stands out to you here?
Actually, can you go first? I'm sorry. I clicked on a wrong button. It's opening up a program. I'm having a hard time getting out of it.
I absolutely can. I mean, I would tell you at the very top, Ben Griffin at 7,900 is going to pique my interest. Didn't make the cut at Pebble Beach, but he was pretty decent before that. We're talking about 12th at Sony, 32nd American Express, 31st at Farmers. No course history here. But at 7,900, Ben Griffin kind of sparks my interest more so than really the bottom of 8K. Aaron Rye at 7,700, absolutely on my list here, dude. I don't know if Aaron Rye wins on tour, but this seems like a field where he's better, even though we haven't seen a ton from him on the PGA Tour. He's better than some of these group. I feel like 7,700 for him is a steal, and staying just in the top half of 7K. Benny On, dude, great course history. Mm-hmm. He's been making cuts. Like, this seems like Benny On time for sure. He's made 4 cuts in a row.
Yeah, no, I don't have any problem with any of the guys you said. Ben Griffin, by the way, is projecting very early in late Monday afternoon to be extremely popular. So
not surprising.
All right. I mean, if you're gonna make me do it, I'll do it. Favorite play? He's ranking really well. Is it seagull season?
I mean, hell yeah, it is. I stopped at the midpoint here because
sorry.
No, it's okay, bro. It's okay. Go right ahead. It doesn't always have to be me who loves Charlie Hoffman. It can be we. We can share.
I mean, he's really good at bogey avoidance over the past 24 rounds. Good opportunities gained. Good scrambling. Good approach. Drives, it could be a little bit of an issue. The putter, a little bit of an issue. But he rates out, like, so he's 10th over the last 24 rounds. He's 5th over 8 rounds. He's 2nd over 4 rounds. Like, he's top 26 in 50 rounds or less. He's 43rd over 100 rounds. Like, this is just, the stats are just pointing to him. And as you know, we've seen a little bit of TV time from him past couple tournaments he's played. Not major TV time, but he's getting some error. Like 48th at Pebble, 14th at Phoenix. Like maybe he's found something in his game and starting to round into form. 7,300. You know, I'll take a veteran here who has had some decent play at this course. Like, why not?
He knows exactly what he needs in terms of moving up in a FedEx Cup ranking. Obviously, he needs to move way the heck up, right? He's like, I think still in the 300s in world golf ranking right now. He needs a whole lot to go right for him, but he knows that he can springboard a pretty good season out of here. Now, he needs a win to get to the Masters, but even a good finish can start to get him maybe another sponsor exemption besides the one he's going to always get at Waste Management. Like, dude, look, I'm going to create a pro Charlie Hoffman narrative every single day of the week. But he makes a ton of sense. Like, of course I'm on him as well. But it's not just look, I like Webb Simpson, who's 7,300. He doesn't make a ton of sense. Charlie Hoffman makes a ton of sense here.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Robbie Shelton towards the top of the board has been playing well. 6th American Express. He made a cut at Farmers, but just didn't do much there. 20th at Pebble. So he's one that rates out pretty well and all the scrambling, the proximities, the bogey avoidance. So he was one that kind of grab my attention. I don't know if I'll end up on Hayden Buckley, but another good bogey avoidance. Joseph Bramlett, I have a feeling, might get a little popular just because he can bomb the ball, but also good approach, good scrambling. He does everything pretty well in this field except putt, so that's an issue. But his form recently, I mean, hasn't missed a cut yet. 54th at Sony and American Express, 13th at Farmers, 7th at Pebble. Like, that's not a bad profile coming into this event.
No, not at all. I would agree with it totally there. Hey, let me ask you about Patty Harrington. Plays tough course as well.
He does.
He's coming off of a really, you know, second place finish in the Champions Tour. He's good enough to make the cut here, right? Like, we've seen him make cuts on PGA Tour last year, I think.
Yes, but are we really looking for make cuts at 7,300? Like, I want a little bit of upside. And I guess would be the knock on
that's
Charlie
fair.
Hoffman. Like, if I'm going to play European guy, older, you know, veteran Euro guy in this range, give me 100 more for Danny Willett.
Who I like as well.
Who did make the cut last week at Riviera, and, you know, he seems like a guy who could pop up here.
Yeah, this does actually seem like a week where Danny Willett could all of a sudden pop again, because we know he can do that from time to time. So I'm with you. I was just curious because Patty Harrington, I mean, great game, but obviously he's a little bit older. But we see older guys like Stuart Sink made a run here last year. So just curious.
Yeah, no, not for me. I mean, Ben Taylor had a good, you know, fall in the Sony ever since, and he's been struggling, but. You know, he does show a little bit. I mean, he did make a cut last week. I mean, EVR kind of popping up a little bit for me. Fratelli is one who's kind of caught my attention for weekend showdowns. So, those are a couple of the other names, but not a ton here. I think I've mentioned everybody I wanted to mention.
I could get behind, like, right at the very bottom, too. I could get behind one Callum Tarran. I could get behind maybe Aaron Badale. I mean, he's shown a little bit here lately. Harry Higgs, just because I like him. Let me ask you about Harry Hall, though, a guy I picked in our league who came in 34th the last time he was out on the PGA Tour at the beginning of the month at Pebble Beach. Harry Hall, Skeeter, I'll be honest with you. I don't know a lot about him. Just can look at his record. Does he do anything for you here at 71?
No, I mean, very putter reliance.
Okay.
He's been, but made 3 or 4 cuts. And, I mean, I'm not seeing 60th place finishes here. I mean, he's top 40 and 41st American Express, 34th at Pebble, 20th at Sony, just missed at Farmers. Not sure as much there, but don't hate it. Good scrambler, good putter, good bogey avoidance. Everything else not ranking very well, but I can see it.
Fair enough, Skeeter. That leaves me with one final question for you. Who are you fading out of this tier?
It's Webb. I gotta see a little more for him before I'm ready to go there. And you know, maybe he's just building up for Heritage, where we all want to use him anyway.
I'd like to see more out of him. I'm actually gonna fade one Lee Hodges. Hadn't made a cut in quite some time before popping up here at Genesis. And that was mostly Thursday, Friday, as he was +3 on the weekend. He'd be my fade because, quite frankly, even if he does show that form again, you mentioned a guy like Shelton, Aaron Rye, also right next to him, guys I just much prefer.
Right, or even down, yeah, down below. Yeah, some other guys I think I'd rather go. So, nope, no issue there.
Skeeter, let's get to that 6K tier, a place I don't know if I'm going to, a place I'm surely not going to go to once we get to the next conversation of one and done. What, if anything, is down here for me?
One guy who's at least been making cuts. Again, I don't know a ton about him, but Eric Cole at 6,900. He's been at least popping up. 15th at Pebble, missed at Farmers on the number. 36th at American Express, 61st at Sony. Had made his final three cuts in the fall. Like, I don't know. Corn Ferry guy, like, he pops up a little bit in scrambling. The good par four, good par five, good bogey avoidance, good putter. I don't know. 6,900, he at least popped up for me a little bit.
So a couple names at the very top of 6K. I don't think I'm going to them. I don't know that I'm getting to 6K. But they stand out to me, at least, against the rest of the crowd. For one, Matt Wallace at 6,900, a player I've paid a lot more to put in a lineup for. Kramer Hickok, who popped last year around this time, I think. Maybe it was even longer than that ago. Those guys aren't in. Would you consider either of those two?
No, because I'll play Cole, or I'll play a guy who we used to kind of was like, we really want this guy to make a cut, and he had to go back to the Corn Ferry Tour, but he played really well there last year, and past two tournaments, 11th at Pebble, 44th at Farmers, Michael Kim.
I don't know that I would play those other two, but I appreciate another name to go with it. Yeah, I mean, I look, dude, I just don't see, like, look, there's Austin Eckroat down here, a guy who I'm looking to see if we can, you know, see him take the next step, and maybe this is a field where he goes from college star to PGA player, but would you go with a guy like that, like a future star, if you will, not even knowing for sure that he will be one?
If you were, or if I was, it would actually be Pearson Cootie or Cody, because he won a Corn Ferry Tour in June, and then he won earlier this year at a score of -3 at Panama.
Ooh, which is a good comp score for here.
Yes. Unfortunately, he has a bunch of missed cuts all around, so he almost is profiled a little like Cam Champ, or just win or bust a little bit right now, but he's a little bit younger, so he's still trying to figure out, like, that's who I would take my chance on if I was going to take a chance on somebody.
All right. Well, I will avoid Cooties this week, Skeeter. You know that at 6,100, Jim Herman, I'm going to have a Jim Herman lineup. Or at least I'm going to put a dollar on him at 500 to 1. I don't know if I'll have a lineup. I probably will. I mean, he made the cut last time out, big dog.
I mean, you got your guy Brian Gay right there at 61. And former past champion, Real Rory Sabatini at 62.
There's a lot of my favorites down here. There's a fact. Why are they my favorites and down here? Well, I guess I don't really cheer for the favorites, but I don't know. I mean, like, I'll be honest with you. When I'm really setting a lineup, if I do a Jim Herman one, I probably will. We'll see. But if I'm really setting a lineup with any, like this is my dead serious good lineup, I don't think it's going to have a 6K guy in it, frankly.
No, the only other guy who's at least popped a little bit, and I know he played well over in the Asian Tour at the end of last year, would be Satoshi Kodaira. He pops in the proximity ranges, pops in good drives, approach, opportunities gained. I'm trying to see what he has done recently, and my computer is... Oh, here we go. 29th at Pebble, 53rd at Farmers. So he's at least, you know, approach has been there. 16th at Zozo, if we want to go back to last year, did miss the American Express. So he pops a little bit, but again, it's not a tier like I'm really looking to go to. Like, I know, I don't even know if he's in a field, but Jason Duffner has good history here, but
I'm pretty sure I just scrolled past his name and he is in the field, yes.
Okay, so I wouldn't go there necessarily.
He is. He's actually at 6,600 with your friend Hank Lee, Libiota, and others.
Hammer and Hank's one I'll wait until the summer swing.
Who are we fading here?
Kyle Stanley. Why not?
Fair enough. I'll get behind that. I'll fade Danny Lee in case he takes that leap.
Yeah.
since we were talking about him beforehand.
Yeah. Again, I was like, why is he in this field? I thought he was going to live, but maybe that fell through.
To be determined, Skeeter. To be determined.
Yeah.
Are we ready to take that conversation to one and done?
Yep.
It was a good week for me, but it was a better week for you. Neither one of us had Rom, but we had two and we had three. I will take that for a little bit of time here as I moved up. I'm inside the top 2,000, puts me inside the top half of the field. Skeeter, you're well inside of me, though. Look, it's still very early in the year in one and done. I know we've talked about the top of the field, the two guys that are up there. How can you sell me on picking anyone? Maybe you shouldn't. On picking anyone besides Sung J.M. or Shane Lowry.
I get what you're saying. Like, right, you want to choose good players. Like, this is
I need money this week.
Yeah. And this is not the week to go get overly cute and say, hey, I like, I'm trying to find somebody. I like Aaron Rye. I'm not sure this is the week for that.
Now, we talked about this before the podcast, how this tournament has produced many winners that were well outside the safe favorite zone, that the average, and this is just a stat I pulled off Twitter, Keith Mitchell, when he won as a Monday qualifier 3 or 4 years ago, was like was 300 to 1, but it's been like 130 to 1, roughly. It's just something, it's a stat I stole off Twitter, so I can't even prove to you it's true. I looked at the numbers, and it seemed legitimate to me, based on the past winners we've seen here, though. Does that at all make you think about going down the board for one and done?
No.
For bets, it does to me, but one and done, I still don't think it does either.
No, like, there's the game theory part that says, okay, if everybody's going to be on M, Lowry, I would also assume people are going to maybe use Horschel. Like, okay, Horschel has a nice history here, but he's not in the best form. Lowry, his form was last week, and Sungjae did miss the cut here last year. I'm sure he was quite popular, so...
Oh, I bet he burned a lot of Keisters last week.
Or last year.
Or last year, yeah, last year, I mean.
So that's why I'm just kind of looking at it saying, okay, there's at least reasons to fade, which is why... You know, Chris Kirk could be... I don't know where he's going to come in at. Like, I don't know if people are going to try to think they're sneaky using him. Kuchar, I would expect to get a little of attention. Norin. You know, I keep going back to my Minwoo Lee. Like, he's third in the betting odds. At least I think he is. Like, he's in the best form, like... He's one that it almost feels like this, you know, sometimes one done, you choose the guy who is up there, but nobody's using.
I guess I'm looking at this week like I would look Survivor in football in like week four, where we've come to realize that the Texans stink and everybody's taking, I don't know, I'd say Jacksonville. Texans might have beat Jacksonville this year. Everybody's taking Jacksonville to beat the Texans. I'm going to take him too, because I'm just going to play against the Texans this week, and I'll differentiate myself next week. I know this is a little bit different animal, but I'm probably just going to take Sung J.M., and if he's 50% owned, then it's almost like you just played the free square at bingo and you moved on and played next week. That's kind of my process here. Maybe it ends up being Shane Lowry, who, like, I'm looking at the Pat Mayo one and done we're in. Sung J.M. has been used by 26% of the field. Shane Lowry hasn't been used. So.
Right.
Maybe that means I use him, and at least I know I have leverage on 25% of the field. But, I mean, unless I'm going to – like, I guess I bring you the question I asked you last week about Adam Scott, and you were like, do you or do you not use Adam Scott? And the question is, am I or am I not going to use these guys all year? Like, if I'm not going to use Shane Lowry or Sung J.M. any other time of year, and I'm Sung J.M., I'm sure I would. Shane Lowry potentially too. But I don't – when is a better time to use them? So maybe I'm just convincing myself to play chalk and just kind of like – you know, take four pitches and see next week. I don't know. That's where my head's at early on a Monday.
Yeah, I don't hate that either. Like, and I think I used Daniel Berger a year or two ago at John Deere simply for that reason. It was Berger, and well, after that, it was just terrible. So there's always some merit to that. But I think there's also sometimes some merit to, okay, who's also one of these favorites that's a decent player that nobody's, that people are just, you know, aren't going to use. Like, I don't, either strategy here I think is fine. Again, it basically comes down to your risk tolerance. Where are you at? Like, if you're towards the bottom, this I think is a perfect time to try to go somewhat unique.
I would agree with that. If you already feel like you're out of it, I mean, I've got a couple mil in my one and done. If you're sitting at 10,000 or something still, maybe it is the time to get unique. And I guess I could offer this perspective too, Skeeter, because in the end, I think the answer to the question might not be the right answer to the formula. Like maybe what works this week isn't necessarily even the right answer, depending on who wins. So, I mean, you got to look at that week. But here I'll say this. We talk about elevated events. This is not an elevated event. So if you don't strike the winner this week, it's not as hurtful as it is in other weeks.
Right, because, yeah, what if the winner this week is, let me choose a really random person. What if the winner for, you know, is Doc Redman? Like, nobody is using him.
Nobody. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome because I'd win our league 2 weeks in a row. I can't believe I won with my lineup last week. I literally had four guys and no one else, but that's besides the point.
Well, don't worry. One of my guys this week's already withdrawn Lonto, so I'm already But, I mean, sometimes these tournaments, we see, like, that second-tier golfer win.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, we've also haven't seen a long shot, and we haven't seen him for a while. Like, this feels like a really good spot for it, so it's like anything else. It's basically on your risk tolerance. What do you feel like doing this week?
It remains to be seen. I'll say this, man. I think this will be a fun week. Unlike last week with Rahm in control, you knew that he wasn't going to give it back to the group as a whole. Maybe somebody could come get him. I do think that this week on Sunday with this course and this field, if it's anybody outside of Lowry or M with like a 3 or 4 stroke lead come the turn, I'm not going to feel like this tournament's over, given what the course can do to you. And I mean, not to knock, you know, world number 50 to 70 to 90, but they're all well, you know, great golfers, but they're just not the closers that world number 1 through 5 are. So I think we could, I don't know, dude, maybe I'm trying to sell myself on this tournament because I've enjoyed it years past. I'm still looking forward to it.
Yeah. And I think last year too, I think Daniel Berger had a decent lead going into the final round.
He did.
He kind of fell apart. And so, I mean, it can happen here. Like there's going to be some blow ups. Like we're going to see one guy go into the back nine on Friday, who is 3 clear of the cut line, end up shooting 5 over on whatever nine mm-hmm. they're on to miss the cut. Like there's going to be blow ups.
Was this the tournament? I don't know why this just popped my mind. Was this the tournament last year where Daniel Berger, like, after about 15 holes, had made about 4 feet of putts? He literally made nothing. I'm exaggerating, but he made nothing.
That sounds familiar.
I feel like this was the tournament. That's how he let that lead go, is everything was on the lip, too. So it wasn't like he was missing badly. He just had tap-in after tap-in. He never dropped a thing.
That sounds
except for
familiar.
A chip shot, if you remember.
I don't.
It's just troubling what I do and don't remember, Skeeter. It really is troubling.
I mean, look, we all remember random shots from random tournaments for no good reason because we were invested in some way, shape, or form.
Well, Skeeter, I can never remember which day my girlfriend gets off early on a given week, but I can remember Daniel Berger's chipping on 11 from the Honda a year ago, and I didn't even have action on him.
The human brain, so we're mysterious ways with things like that.
When we get done here, I'm going to look it up and see if it was the Honda and see if it was hole 11. But at any rate, we'll get that answer next week, Skeeter. Anything else for the Honda Classic this week?
I don't think so.
I think that's it for me, too. I'm looking forward to it, as I said, earlier in the week, folks, or earlier in the day. So remember, get your lineups in Wednesday night. Thursday morning, the tournament will already have started once you get up or your workday gets going for just about everybody. So keep that in mind. Skeeter, good luck to you this week, my friend.
Same to you.
Appreciate you and everybody else for joining along with us. For Skeeter Robinson, I'm James Adams. This has been the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast.